So first comes love, and then comes misunderstanding. How many of you would honestly say today you really struggle to understand the opposite gender? Like men, how many of you would say, I just don't get ladies? Ladies, how many of you say, I don't understand guys? Let's make it personal. Women, wives, how many of you would say, I don't understand my husband? Husbands, how many of you would say, I don't understand my wife, right? That's just covering the gender differences, okay? There are so many other differences at play. So for me and my wife, Ashley, we are really, really different personalities. We have very different personality types. We have very different communication styles and patterns. And I think all of this stacks up to the point that sometimes, man, we just feel like we cannot win in communication. Married people, have you been there where you feel like you're just stacking up loss after loss that you just can't win? My suggestion to you this morning would be to consider that maybe you're actually shooting at the wrong goal. You're not winning because you're shooting at the wrong goal. Let me show you what this looks like. Take a look at this quick video.
Zipping up and circling right around and going right to the rim.
Will they go for the win? No. It'll be knocked away by Isaac, and it
goes in. Did you see it?
Unbelievable. Incredible.
Watch the replay.
That might be one of the most unbelievable. Trying to knock the ball away.
That's incredible, isn't it?
You can't play it any better.
This is 30 seconds of a 5-minute YouTube video on NBA wrong basket moments. I didn't even know this happened. It's crazy. What's happening here in this moment is this guy is trying to defend himself and defend his team, and he ends up scoring 2 game-tying points for the other team at the buzzer. It's a wild, wild moment. He's trying to help, but what he does is he hurts his team. And I wonder if that's what happens to you in communication. Like when it comes to communicating with your spouse, do you feel this? You're trying to make a point, but you're shooting at the wrong goal. You're trying to defend yourself, but you end up hurting your team in the process. And on the other side, man, you come out with a loss and you feel the sense of this loss. That's what we're talking about this morning in communication. And I want to say this from the start. Like the concept that we're communicating about this morning, this could be applied to any relationship, any person-to-person relationship, really any and all types of relationships. The biblical principle that we're going to look at, it has a very broad application, and you could apply this to any relationship and all relationships. But I will say particularly in regards to this unique and special relationship created by God called marriage, this idea, these biblical principles, these concepts could be a game changer, a life-giving game changer for your marriage relationship. So if you feel like you cannot win in communication, it just might be that you're shooting at the wrong goal, that you have the wrong goal. So what I want us to do this morning is to change the goal and to redefine what it looks like for us to win. Now, as we get into this, let me remind you what we've been doing in this message series. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been working on building a solid foundation. We've been establishing the building blocks as we look to the example of God's love and we go, okay, if we're supposed to be this imperfect reflection of the love of God in Christ, then we have to build this thing on God's love. So we started with grace, an amazing aspect of God's love. It's his grace. We go, okay, we're going to build grace-based marriages, not works-based marriages. Then we moved into commitment. And we talked about the fact that Jesus is so for us that he's forever committed to us. And if we're going to honor and we're going to image after Jesus, then commitment's got to be a building block of our relationships. Then last week we talked about Christ-likeness and what it is to apply Jesus-like behaviors to our spouse and loving them the way that Jesus loves us. And what we're doing today as we turn the corner is we're going to build on this solid foundation of truth that looks at the example of God and goes, okay, now what does it look like to add Christ-like actions to our marriage experience? We're going to build on this strong theological foundation. And y'all, my hope for the whole series has been that this whole thing would just be wildly helpful and very, very practical. But as we get to this second layer, this is where I think it gets even more practical. We've learned the theology, and now we're going to exercise the practice. And when I mean practice, this is what I mean. Like, these are things that you can apply to your real everyday life, things that you can do today to make a difference in your relationships. So we're going to build on this base as we continue to look at Jesus as our model and what it looks like to take Christ-like practices into our marriages. So as we do that, there's something that I want you to actually search your hearts about as we begin this. I want you first to start by assessing your current communication goals, okay? When it comes to relationships, people to people, husband to wife, what are your goals in communication? What do you want to accomplish? What is the target that you're shooting at? What does it look like to win in regards to communication in your marriage? What is the goal? Or if you're single, remember this series is for marrieds and unmarrieds alike, right? Every one of us need this theological base, this theological understanding, this depth of truth about the love of God. Singles, what do you want in a future marriage if you desire marriage? And what do you see in the marriages around you? What do you see the goal being? How do you see communication happening? I mean, I can't answer those questions for you, but I can tell you what I see, and I can tell you what happens personally in my own marriage experience. I can tell you what happens and what I default into if I'm not being intentional, if I'm not being mindful and loving towards my wife. I can tell you the places that I go. But I will also tell you this, that my wife, Ashley, I mean, she's very lucky, right? She's very lucky to have me. And maybe you're not aware of this. You know some things about me. Maybe you don't know all these things. But for Ashley, she's so fortunate because my undergraduate degree is actually in communication from a public university. I mean, can you imagine how fortunate she is to have that in our relationship? Because I have been formally trained in the ways of the world, right? And I've been formally trained in the subjects of persuasion and rhetoric and speech writing. And fortunately for Ashley, like, I know things about linguistics. Can you imagine how good it is to be her, right? But y'all, I want you to think about it. Like, we are all either informally or formally trained in the ways of the world when it comes to communication. And the world has set our goal for us of what it looks like to win. And this is what the world would tell you winning in communication is about. Man, this is what I'm trained in. Winning is this. It's persuasion. It's convincing. It's making your point with crystal clear clarity. If you want to just be simple and honest about it, this is what the goal for the world is. It's getting your way. I'm trained in getting my way and being self-centered. And that's troublesome because marriage is a team sport. Marriage is a team sport, and you and your spouse are on the same team. Like, you're not opponents, and maybe that's part of the problem. You find yourself in this space this morning, and you go, man, I feel like we're working against each other instead of working together towards the same good goals. The world's way is so very bad for a team because what it does is it focuses on the individual instead of the team. Maybe you did make your point clearly. Maybe you do frequently get your way. But what you find is making your point and getting your way puts your marriages on a path of disconnection, moving further and further and further apart instead of closer and closer and closer together. And this world's way of getting your way is destroying you. And it's moving you away from what you ultimately want, which is intimacy, right? We get into this unique relationship because we desire this connection, this spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical connection called intimacy. And what we find is our communication patterns cause disconnection instead of intimacy. And so this morning, we're going to go to God, man. We're going to go to His truth, and we're going to ask God for a new and better goal. To find that, let's go together to James chapter 1 in the New Testament of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put the words up on the screen. You can follow along. You can use the BPF app to guide you. If you want a free copy of the Bible, go to our Welcome Center after the service. Our volunteers would love to give you a copy of the Bible to take home with you this morning. If you're looking for James in your Bible, it's a very small book towards the end of the New Testament. Just go to the table of contents. There's no shame in that game. So we're going to be in James chapter 1, verse 19. And as we get into these two verses, 19 and 20, I want to give you a little bit of context of what's going on because it's always important to understand the context around verses that we study. The truth is the context of James 1:19 has so much more to do with our communication relationship with God than it does with people, right? It's much more about how we understand and communicate and listen to and talk to God than it is people. But I would maintain that it is absolutely appropriate for us to look at this pattern that we see in relationship with God and then apply it to our relationships with people, and particularly, specifically, the marriage relationship. Because remember, God's good design for marriage is that our marriages become a reflection, imperfect, but a good reflection of the love of God in Christ. So if we're going to build our marriages on that design and on that truth, man, it's absolutely appropriate to work to communicate with our spouse in a Christ-like, God-honoring way. So James 1:19 and the verses around it basically say this. Let me give you just kind of a summary of the context. It says three things. If you follow Jesus, you need to receive God's word humbly. You need to remember God's word constantly, and then you need to obey it wholeheartedly. So as followers of Jesus, we receive, we remember, and we obey the word of God. So with that in mind, let's look to James 1:19 and ask God in his wisdom to teach us about communication. James 1:19 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I refer to this as the quick, slow, slow principle. The quick, slow, slow approach to communication becomes this great template for us as we seek to find a way to experience a win in communication with our spouse. And what I want to do this morning is break down each of those phrases individually, each of the three phrases of quick, slow, slow. So let's start with the first. Be quick to listen. And it starts here for a reason. Be quick to listen. To actually listen. And the reality is, y'all, this is so very different than our natural tendencies. This is so different than our human nature. This is so different than the way of the world that says, man, I'm all about getting my way and communicating my thoughts. And this morning, I just want you to do some self-assessment. Like, are there any of you that would self-diagnose this morning that you really struggle to be quick to listen? Like, think about yourself in this space. Are you a good listener? Do you struggle to listen to God, to your mama, to your spouse, maybe even to your boss? And you go, in all the patterns of my life, I'm not a quick listener. Because if we're going to be quick to listen, it really requires us to slow down, to slow way down, to slow our minds, to slow our tongues, to slow our agendas, to slow our reactions and our responses. Because people that are good listeners, man, they're intent listeners. They're others focused, and they're more concerned with what the other person is saying than what they're going to say in response. You have to slow down and really care about what they're saying even more than you care about how you're going to react to what they're saying. And now I want you to take all of this and bring it into marriage, right? What does it look like in your marriage communication? How are your listening skills? Are you a good listener to your husband? Are you a good listener to your wife? What would your spouse say? How would they answer that question for you? Be quick to listen. The second phrase is this: be slow to speak. So be quick to listen, be slow to speak. And these come to us, man, as commands, as imperatives. And I would tell you, these two imperatives, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, man, they go hand in hand. But this second one, being slow to speak, this is the one that nails me personally. This is one that really steps on my toes, because I can be so very quick to speak, y'all. I have a quick processor. I'm quickly able to articulate what I want to say, what I think, how I feel. I can be very quickly passionate about just about any topic. I don't even really have to care about it that much to have an impassioned opinion about it. That's just the way that I'm wired. And so being slow to speak, man, that takes effort on my part. And not just effort, like, it requires self-control, the kind of self-control that I need as a gift from God's Holy Spirit. Like, that's what's going to change my interaction with my wife. And so I'm curious this morning, like, how many of you would self-diagnose that, like me, you got a bad case of too quick to talk? Where are you at? Some of you are going, okay, I see it. I'm already diagnosing that I am slow to listen and I'm quick to speak. Well, let's keep going. Let's look into that third phrase. Because ultimately, being slow to speak is going to also require us to slow down our minds, our tongues, our agendas, and our reactions. And that third phrase then says this: be slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Be slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And I will tell you all, next week, man, we're going to talk conflict. And I think this is the biggest enemy of connection. But it's the biggest opportunity. I can't wait to get into that next week. But I will tell you for today, like, just briefly, let me say this: anger doesn't honor God. Anger doesn't honor God or reflect the love of God, because it doesn't match the grace that we found in Christ. And if we're striving to build our marriages on Christ's likenesses, we have to understand, if we're going to build on God's example, that that doesn't look like the love of God. And I don't know about you guys, but I can speak for me in saying this. I personally am so grateful that God is slow to anger with me. He is so patient. He is so kind. He is so long-suffering. He is so faithful with me that he has endured with me through the same sins and through the same struggles for my entire life of following him. He delivers me, and he delivers me again, and he delivers me again, slow to anger, patient, kind, and his grace is boundless, and I'm so grateful for that. I've received grace greatly, and what we learned in the first week is this, that great receivers of grace become great givers of grace, and that's what we want, man. We want to just be this conduit of the grace of God. And anger in our relationships, in our marriage relationships, that doesn't look like the love of God. We're going to get there next week. But I will tell you this, when it comes to marriage, anger is an enemy of connection. And so let's bring all three of these together. You've got to be quick to listen, be slow to speak, be slow to become angry. And what happens is, man, when we build on this foundation of the love of God, when we exercise grace, when we elevate commitment, when we seek to love the way that Jesus loves, when we follow this principle that we're learning today, the quick, slow, slow principle, when we stop being so self-centered in the way that we communicate with our spouse, that's then where we find a new and better goal. So what then is the new and better goal? What does it look like for us to win as a team in marriage? Here it is. This is what the goal becomes. For everyone in the marriage to be heard, to be understood, and to be cared for. For everyone in the marriage to feel heard and understood and cared for. And that sounds so very simple. That's a really simple goal. But let's contrast it with the way of the world. Let's compare it to this idea of getting my own way, persuading, convincing, making my point with crystal clear clarity. That's very, very different than both of us feeling heard, both of us feeling understood, and getting on the other side of communication and both of us feeling deeply cared for. You see, when it comes to communication, I want you to think about it. What do people on the other side of you experience? Do they feel heard by you? Do they feel understood by you? Do they feel cared for by you in the way that you communicate? Because that, y'all, that's the goal of communication, to be heard, to be understood, to be cared for. And that's really different than the way of the world. And what I want us to do is to dig deeper into each of those three pieces of the goal. So let's start with what it is to be heard. To hear well. Man, it takes effort. It takes time. It takes attention. It requires changed behaviors. It requires a removal of negative communication patterns in your marriage relationships. If your spouse is going to feel heard by you, you got to stop doing some things, right? If your spouse is going to feel heard by you, you can't avoid the conversation. You can't avoid communication with your spouse and them feel heard by you. You can't withdraw from the conversation every time you get bored or tired or bothered or angry. Withdrawal and avoidance is an enemy of connection. These are negative communication patterns. The reality is others don't feel heard by you when you escalate and you spiral up and the intensity gets greater and greater and greater. Others don't feel heard by you when the conversation gets hotter and louder. The louder the volume goes up, the lower the sense of being heard goes down. Your spouse doesn't feel heard by you when you invalidate them. This is what I mean. When you make their opinions, their thoughts, their feelings, their expressions feel less valid, and you explain it away or you deny it. And so what we do in that, man, is we avoid dismissing, we avoid minimizing, we avoid put-downs. We don't dismiss, minimize, or put down the thoughts and the feelings of our spouse, but we lovingly lean in because we genuinely want them to feel heard by us. So I just listen. I just listen for her feelings, for her thoughts, through her expressions. Because if we're going to help people feel heard by us, we're going to find that it requires selflessness. Like it requires selflessness and sacrifice on our part for people on the other side of us to feel heard. And the second part of the goal, to be understood, it's really, really similar. It's really similar in that regard because the goal here becomes mutual understanding where the husband understands the wife and the wife understands the husband. And let me tell you, this idea of mutual understanding, y'all, this is not a low bar. It's not going to happen with a great deal of effort, a great deal of time, a great deal of intentionality. But the beauty of what happens when everyone feels understood is that people who feel understood, man, they feel valued and they feel respected. And that is power for a marriage. When everyone in the marriage feels valued and everyone in the marriage feels respect, that's power for marriage. And I want you to listen to me. When we talk about this idea of mutual understanding, this is gold, y'all. Wives and husbands, understand that mutual understanding can happen even without agreement. I can understand Ashley's perspectives, opinions, thoughts, and expressions without completely agreeing with them. And the same is true vice versa. It doesn't require agreement or even compromise. Sometimes we can completely disagree and see things so very differently, but the reality is we have heard each other so well, we have understood each other so well, and in our interactions we have cared with each other so well that we find that the intimacy that comes in disagreement is actually more significant, more powerful than agreement, because it's been so unifying and so helpful even though we don't agree. If you're going to achieve this idea of mutual understanding, like, we've got to get into that space where we learn to appreciate each other's differences. And we go, you know what? Different doesn't equal bad. It just equals different. You're different than me, and that's okay. We're different people with different personalities, different genders. And to really learn to appreciate these differences, I want to teach you something that is, I'll admit, painting with a very broad brush, but I find it to be generally quite helpful. It's this. Men are like waffles. Women are like spaghetti. Very simple. Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. Some of you have heard me say this before. It's not original. I get it from a book, but it is absolutely worth restating. This is the idea that the male mind is represented by a waffle. Don't be offended. Let me explain. The female mind is represented by spaghetti. Okay? Don't be offended. Let me explain. And because our minds are shaped that way, thus the way we communicate flows out of that. Okay? So let's start with waffles. Guys, you get to go first. Waffles, if you look at them, are a series of rows and columns of boxes. You've got square after square after square after square, and that's how the male mind is organized. Ultimately, when you think about waffles in men, here's the key word. It's compartmentalized. Guys have boxes of compartmentalization, and therefore we communicate in compartmentalized ways. When it comes to communication, the guy's desire is to maximize and prioritize efficiency. We want to be efficient. This is why we are generally single task kinds of people, right? So you say, how was your day at work? It was fine. That's very efficient. It's not deep, but it's efficient. And that's because we operate with these brain boxes. And I will tell you, just let's be honest, some guys have quite a few boxes and some guys have very, very few, right? But we all kind of work in this kind of box mentality. So you got like the home box, the family box, the work box, the deer stand box, the ESPN box, the fishing box, right? We've got these different kinds of boxes, and the reality is they don't overlap, and we have a hard time getting out of one and into the other. So when we transition from the work box to the home box, man, I'm now in this space. I'm not thinking as much about that space. I want to talk about what's happening in this space. I'm not so interested in talking about what happened all day in that space because I'm in my boxes. It's really pretty simple. It's about compartments. All right, let's talk about spaghetti. Oh no. Spaghetti is a picture of incalculable connections. Like if you tried to follow one piece of spaghetti all throughout the plate of spaghetti, it's going to touch hundreds of other pieces of spaghetti along the way. That's how the female mind is generally structured. It's about connections. And so communication that flows out of that is all about connections. It's all about connections. This is often why women are great multitaskers and can handle multiple things at once. For ladies, the highest hope in communication is connection, man. They want to connect stories. They want to connect events. They want to connect people. And more than anything, they want to connect hearts. And that's different than us guys, isn't it? Like we just maximize efficiency. And when you begin to understand how we're wired so very differently, and that's just our gender differences, there's also personality differences and communication style differences, you begin to understand why communication in marriage is so hard, because it's so different. And when you begin to understand how different it really is, how different we are as people, that's when you begin to understand how selfless you must be as a husband. Like how selfless you must be as a wife. I've got to selflessly, genuinely desire to follow those connections because I care for her. And because I care for her, I care about those connections. And because she cares for me, she respects the way that I'm wired and she operates with gentleness and patience with my compartments. Why? Because we both want to be heard and understood and cared for and really truly loved, and for our communication to lead us to a place of intimacy. And you begin to see this and you go, man, can waffles and spaghetti ever play for the same team? They can. They absolutely can, but it's hard. And maybe you look at yourself this morning and you go, man, we've not been playing as a team. Like I'm exposed this morning. Like I've been focused way more on the individual. Maybe this morning you look at yourself and you go, you know what? I've been a bad teammate. If I'm gonna be honest, I care more about getting my way and scoring my points than I care about my spouse. And that's destructive. It's leading us to disconnection, not intimacy. Maybe you look at this and you go, man, I very much doubt that on the other side of me, my spouse feels heard, understood, or even remotely cared for. Maybe you both this morning would be honest enough to look at the situation and go, you know what? We're losing and we're stacking up loss after loss after loss because we have been shooting at the wrong goal and we want to reorient, shape, reshape, new goal, new purpose. Y'all, there's hope. There's hope for you if you feel like your team has been losing and losing and losing. There's hope for you today because, man, you can start over with a new goal. You can start over with a redefined win. You can start over with a new and fresh concept of team, a new and better vision of marriage. You can start over with new, wise, biblical practices, and you can start today because when we stop putting ourselves first and we start seeing our spouse and the team as more important than ourselves, when we start practicing the quick, slow, slow principle, my guess is what you will find very quickly is that doing this God's way leads to the intimacy that you desired. And in communication, you'll experience connection. And connection leads to that physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual intimacy that our hearts desire. Let's pray. God, this morning, I thank you for your truth and how simple but profound it is. God, I pray that you would help us to exercise this in all of our relationships, that we would represent Christ. God, make us people who are quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. God, I pray that this would revolutionize marriages, especially those who are struggling deeply. God, be their source of hope and peace today. God, I pray for those in the room who just need hope today, that they would find hope in Christ and that hope would sustain them. In Jesus' name, amen.